This is Alaskan Legislative Review, a program of analysis and discussion of issues facing the Alaska State Legislature, featuring the faculty and staff of the University of Alaska at Fairbanks. I'm your host, Scott Sterling. We have with us tonight a special guest. Her name is Sarah Hannon, and she is the student regent on the University of Alaska Board of Regents. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you, Scott. Pleasure to be here.
Tonight, we thought we'd focus the show a little bit on issues that are facing the legislature that concern the University of Alaska. It was a surprise to me to learn that there are over 42,000 Alaskans currently taking classes in one form or another through the University of Alaska, and I thought it might be appropriate to look at some of the issues that are facing the legislature in regard to the university. So I guess I'd like to start by asking you about how did you get to be on the Board of Regents?
Well, constitutionally, the Board of Regents is established to oversee all policy-making decisions on the University of Alaska. So the policies aren't made in the legislature or in the executive branch. And in the early 70s, the legislation dictating that was amended to add that one of those positions would be a full-time student within the University of Alaska system, so that there would be some influence and impact of people currently in the system on policies affecting the future of the university. So for the past 10 years, there's consistently been a student member of the board. The position is a full powers and authority of any region of the university. The only difference is that you have to be a full-time student during your term, and the term is only for 2 years. You're still appointed by the governor, but the pool of nominees for the governor to choose from is selected from individual campuses instead of the governor being available to go out and seek nominees. His pool is selected, and then he screens them on whatever basis he sees. That means that the governor has still some direction in the university. He or she is able to make sure that executive wishes are listened to. They've got some ears. They try and maintain a real good working relationship, and I don't think that's impeded by having a student by any means.
So the idea is to make sure that there is some kind of student voice on the Board of Regents and to provide that kind of input. And how long have you been on the board?
I've been on the board for a year, and I've got a year and a month, and I've got 11 months left on my term. It'll expire in February of 1984. By that time, a nomination should be to the governor and a new appointment be made. That process will begin this October, so campuses will be acknowledged, and the governor will tell them to send those names to get people interested in the university, let them know a little bit about it before they get into it.
All right. Now, Sarah, can you tell me something about the land claim settlement? Recently in the press, there's been quite a bit of discussion over the university land claim settlement bill. And the reports have been saying that it seems like the state has owed the university something, and that this bill is designed to pay up on that settlement. Could you give us an explanation of what this issue is all about?
Well, as early as 1915, the federal government established some land programs that gave land to states or territories for securing income for the future of university systems. It was the Land Grant College Act. 1915 wasn't our only land appropriation, but that was the initial one that started it all. At that time, there was no university. And the university developed but did not have the means to manage its own land. Land management is a very expensive and intricate process, and at that time, there was just not the capabilities in Alaska to be doing it for our own university. So the state contracted with the university an agreement and was to manage those lands for the benefit of the university. The problems arose over time when the state did not manage those lands for the benefit of the university, but managed them just like any other state land. That meant that they were leased out, they were available for selection under the Municipalities Entitlement Act, they were allocated into state park systems, and otherwise encumbered so that the income either was not at fair market value, there was no income, there was no real pressure to pursue income for the university. The university in 72, I believe, intervened and filed suit saying that the state had better compensate. We needed some kind of agreement. The university was a stable enough development process that it could challenge and say, we want to control our own land. That's what this land settlement is about. It's currently in Senate Bill 41, sponsored by Senator Betty Fahrenkamp of Fairbanks. The settlement bill actually transfers 50,000 acres of state land and $4.2 million in cash to the university as settlement. There are some questions still being raised. The settlement was reached with the state divisions involved, the Division of Revenue and the Governor's Office last year, but it failed to pass the legislature in the final hours when some other pieces of legislation were tacked on as riders. It was assumed at that point that since everyone had agreed to the settlement and all the signatures were on it, that it would just be a matter of course for it to pass the session, to pass the legislature this session. But there have been some holdups and a little change of thinking, and it's becoming political once again. The main questions being asked are from some key legislators who are saying, if this is for the land grant mission, what is the university going to do to fulfill those land grant missions? Land grant college system was established to support renewable resource industries in this country, namely agriculture at that point, agriculture and forestry, but that also includes fisheries and resource management, which is kind of a new field. But they're all considered part of the resource management mission of the land grant college system. The university does not really have exceptional programs in those, and the money has not been used to, well, we haven't had money. The money that we've had under the Land Grant College Act has been used for our Land Grant Management Office. What some of the legislators are saying or questioning as to how much we're going to feel obligated to spend on resource management. One suggested amendment to the bill would obligate the university to spend one-third of all interest income earned off of those lands and off of the trust fund to be used for natural resource programs, either fisheries, agriculture, forestry, or resource management. That's really not too far off of what the university will probably end up doing. The university, the last Board of Regents meeting, had a lengthy discussion, which will be continued at the full board meeting in April, as to a permanent fund policy, a permanent fund, a trust fund for the university policies regarding how it's going to be spent. There's a clause in the proposed policy that will say that the policy of the board will be to spend trust land money for resource management programs. But the idea of the legislature restricting the board to a set amount of one-third must be spent is a real different principle. It ties in a lot more to the bill than people want. What those senators want by that proposed amendment is to guarantee that the university has good resource management programs. But what that does is ties the hands of the regents from doing their job. That fund could be used to add excellence to other programs as well.
So there's an issue here. First of all, the federal government under the land grant system granted the University of Alaska some land. Over the course of most of the century, the university did not actively manage or control those lands, but rather the state of Alaska or the territory of Alaska did. And then in the late 70s, we saw the university become large enough and stable enough to begin to manage lands on its own, and it asked the state back for control of its lands. And during that time,
compensation.
And compensation, because the state had been making money off managing the university's lands. So that's what the suits were all about. The university won the lawsuits.
Well, no, this is an out-of-court settlement.
Oh, it's an out-of-court
settlement.
Why, oh, I see.
That's why we're doing it this way. If the state has agreed to this without too much dissension, because it was a very clean, obvious loss, and their lawyers have said, it looks like you'd lose, and you could lose much bigger than if we settle out of court.
So now there's a bill to provide for the settlement, and some people in the legislature would like to guarantee that the money from the settlement be spent in a specified way, and that seems to run counter to the philosophy that the Board of Regents ultimately and completely should be in control of policy for the university.
Correct. And that's a shame, because everyone involved is concerned about the future and the development of good natural resource programs in the university system. But the idea of this being a means to guarantee that could hurt the chances of the legislation and could create some tension between the legislature and the board. I don't see that happening right now. I don't see tension developing because the compromising is still going on. It's still very much a fluid issue because those senators that are proposing those amendments really care about those programs being developed and they don't want to hurt the chances of that.
All right. Speaking as a regent, do you think the university will be addressing fulfilling its land-grant mission in a better way once it receives this settlement?
I think so. I think there has been a lot of changes in the past 5 years about how the university feels about fulfilling its land-grant mission. There was a lapse in time when it didn't put a lot of energy into the land-grant mission, but that's changed, and I think that by a little in-depth look at the university, you would see those attitudes changing, that program emphasis changing, and energy being directed towards the land-grant mission. If the legislature, that means that I'm asking the legislators to trust us enough that we're going to continue on the same emphasis and support good resource management programs, dedicate ourselves to the land-grant mission again.
Is the land-grant mission relevant in this day and age? If I understand it, the land-grant mission emphasizes agriculture, mining. Universities start out as a school of agriculture and mines, and resource management. Do we have it within our capabilities, within the university system? Can the university achieve some success, some excellence in those directions?
Yes. If we have the support of the public, if that's what Alaskans want their land-grant mission to be and to continue to be, if they want this state to develop barley farming in the Delta Valley and Mat-Su, and if they want to develop a red meat industry, and if they want to develop some new mining techniques and good forestry programs, if they value those industries and the state's going to be spending money in other ways, that research has to be coming. And the only way to do the research for this unique land area is to have it done by our university system. If the state makes a choice that that's not the direction that our industrial development is going to go in the next 10 years, then it's, of course, not necessary for high-scale research money and programs to be put on that emphasis. There needs to be some research going on all the time so that we can always keep an ear to the ground and know what direction we should be taking. But I think that the state has spoken and has said that's where we're going to be turning. We're going to be turning back to renewable resources. We need to have some expertise in our own areas, and we don't. We've been dependent on research from comparable climates, if there can be such. Alaska has some real strange growing season and some building constraints that nowhere else in the country are found, and we've got to do our own engineering research and our own agriculture research. But in hard times, with the state losing revenues to be bound to a percentage amount of what we have to spend when, could put us in a bad situation. If we come to a point where we just basically can't provide the primary goals of education, reading, writing, arithmetic to Alaskans, and a little bit beyond high school level, then there's no reason for us to have a third of our interest income tied to going into research if we don't have an undergraduate program. So in the extreme, it's going to be bad to tie our hands, but in the short run, I think we're going to be doing that anyway.
All right. Let's move on to another issue that has received a lot of attention lately, and that's the issue of providing housing for University of Alaska students. Now, since the Sheffield administration took office, we've seen a variety of proposals and bills submitted which would address the issue of housing. The governor at one point was saying he was favoring housing, but he wanted to finance it in a different way than the university had asked for. At another point, there was a question about whether there should be housing in Juneau, and some people said there wouldn't be, some people said there will be, some people were questioning whether there even ought to be. All in all, it's kind of hard to keep track of what's going on with the growth of the campuses in Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau, and what providing housing and more housing means. So if you would, could you start at the very beginning and explain what the housing situation is and what the legislature is looking at right now.
Okay. First of all, the university, as part of its mission, has been to reach out to Alaskans and provide education. And if you're reaching out somewhere and drawing students in from outlying areas to a central location to provide that education, that means you need somewhere for them to live. And in Fairbanks, that meant dorms. Anchorage, the University of Alaska Anchorage and Anchorage Community College grew out of a transient community. People were coming in for a few classes, but not main degree programs. It developed as a community college program where people were commuting to the campus. So the critical mass of students didn't have to be housed in one location. The key to it is that a campus needs a critical mass of students to function, to maintain accreditation. The University of Alaska Juneau has received a lot of limelight because it's been a real key issue this year for them. It was the top priority of the board in its capital budget request to the governor and the legislature this year under new construction, new facilities, was to ask the University of Alaska Juneau to receive money to build student housing. A recent accreditation report on Juneau said that they needed to maintain a critical mass of students and they don't have one right now. And the only way we see that coming is providing housing or some direction. Some of the public feels that's the only way they're going to maintain a critical mass of students. Governor Sheffield included money in his capital budget for the University of Alaska Juneau student housing. That was approximately $13.2 million. A lot of politics have been played into it from January until this date. The Senate drafted a bill which included, it totaled $53,250,000. And provided for land acquisition in a number of locations, planning money for dorms, direct appropriation for money to build student housing here in Fairbanks, complete the planning that's already gone on, and some delayed appropriations for facilities construction in a number of other places. That was before Senate Finance last Tuesday, the 15th. And I've heard rumors out of Juneau, but I have not seen what amendments actually are going to be in the new draft coming out of that committee, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 19 that went in with the $53 million. But I've heard that it also added some more land acquisition and dorms for some of the smaller community colleges. Going into that hearing, the bill included money for construction of dorms and acquisition of land in Fairbanks, Juneau, Anchorage, and Kenai. That seemed to address, plus a little bit, the request that the Board of Regents has made. The board asked for money for Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau as top priorities in the next 2 years. Kenai was a little bit further down on our plans and came out when that draft of legislation did. If that bill gets much bigger, it's probably going to be changed again. I don't see that the legislature is going to go for a $100 million bill to construct housing across the state for some campuses that haven't established that critical mass already. Problem comes in that in Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau, housing markets are very tight. In Anchorage and Fairbanks are at the limits as far as their class size. There's going to be more students. If there's any more increased enrollment, they're just not going to be able to be teaching classes. The Fairbanks campus has been 100% occupancy for the last two fall semesters in the fall semester, and that means there's no room for growth. So if we expect those enrollments to go up and we don't have anywhere to keep those students, we're not going to be able to have them enrolled. It's going to be eased a little bit if the housing markets in Anchorage, Juneau, and Fairbanks have some quick growth this summer. But students traditionally are much poorer than the lay public and aren't able to afford even what's considered moderate housing costs. So you get a unique group of renters on the market when you have a student mass. Fairbanks campus is the furthest along in the construction of housing or additional housing for their campus. They receive planning money, schematics for the buildings have been done, the site has been selected. If the money was appropriated early, there could be site preparation currently in the spring, and construction could begin this summer, and it would be ready in 3 semesters. That means when we're expecting another big surge in enrollments, we'd be ready for those students. If it doesn't come through in an early appropriation, we could lose as much as a construction season, and that means we're not going to be ready for enrollments. And if the university is to fulfill its mission, it needs to do some basic things like provide housing for students.
All right. So is the issue as much, is this one of these regional political issues where a lot of regionalism has come into play? Are we seeing a debate in the legislature over which campus is more deserving or less deserving of housing? Or is it, are they looking at it as a matter of, we have X amount of money and we need to build X amount of housing, here's the way the priorities go. Now the board's priorities were in the form of Juneau in order to provide for accreditation, Fairbanks because Fairbanks is ready to build a dorm, and Anchorage because there has been enough demonstrated need that Anchorage needs to begin its planning process. Is that right?
That's correct. That's the board's priorities in the last year, but it is definitely getting some political influence in there. It's hard to avoid. It's probably the last dying issue of the old regionalism between the legislature and the Board of Regents. And it's a hard battle to kill. I think that's what we're seeing with the amendments that were proposed in Senate Finance last week. People are saying, well, if everybody else gets a dorm, then I want my community college to have a dorm, and I want it now. We're still looking at alternative financing. We understand that there's revenue shortfalls, and the university and students are real sympathetic to the idea of building dorms the most efficient manner possible. But the idea that we've got to allocate all this money this session or we'll never do it, it's going to kill it, and it's making it a very political issue. And I sure hope that those legislators involved understand that.
All right, we have a number of dorms on the Fairbanks campus now. Were those largely built out of direct appropriations, or were those financed through bonding?
The last complex was bonded. Most of the dorms were built in a period when the state did not have a lot of money and didn't do many direct capital projects. So I make an assumption there, but I don't think many of them were direct capital projects. The University of Alaska Fairbanks campus has not had new construction in 10 years. And that's when the big growth in capital projects has gone on. So it hasn't seen a lot of those direct appropriated capital projects.
All right. What about the governor? What's his point of view? He certainly has a role to play with the university and the legislature. What's his view on building this housing?
The governor's been very supportive. Before his capital budget was set firm, he was very open to the board saying that our top new construction facility wasn't included in his budget and changed it so that the money for Juneau Dormitory was in there. And he's been real supportive of Senate Bill 19, saying that he'd like to see those community colleges and the university have housing. He's not intervening in the current legislative battle that's going on within delegations and regions trying to decide who's going to get how much where. But it's fair to say that the governor's going to support that bill.
So at heart, no one is questioning the need for housing, but what they are questioning is how we're best going to build it and how we're best going to finance it.
And who gets it first.
And who gets it first. Okay. There's one other smaller issue I would like to look at, and that's, I don't mean smaller in the sense that it's not important, but smaller in the magnitude involved. And that's this issue of community colleges and providing dormitories at community colleges. I know that's being discussed in the legislature. Is that an issue with the Board of Regents? Has the board addressed that?
Since my term began, not directly. We've talked about it informally, but never as an issue on our policies. But I think that we will be in the near future. It's critical when you're trying to do programs that affect the state, such as our nursing program that does a lot of outreach. You can get a nursing degree from a number of community colleges. If we're bringing in students to pursue those good programs from outlying regions to a central location, say Bethel, to get a two-year nursing degree, and those students are only thinking that they'll temporarily be in Bethel because they've got to spend some time in Anchorage to finish their degree, it's not likely that they're going to want to invest money and buy a home there if there were a home to be built. And the university has got to consider, what are we going to do with these students as those kind of programs grow and develop and become our stronger emphasis.
So we can expect the board then to be addressing community college housing and accordingly the legislature after that.
Certainly.
Well, we've run out of time. It's a very fascinating subject, Sarah. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Very interesting. This has been Alaskan Legislative Review. Tonight we've been discussing the University of Alaska and the current issues before the legislature regarding the university. Our guest has been Sarah Hannon, student regent of the University of Alaska Board of Regents. I'm your host, Scott Sterling. Our executive producer is Carla Tanella, and Alaskan Legislative Review is a production of KUAC FM at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks. If you would like a cassette copy of our show, please send $5 to KUAC FM, University of Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99701.